paper. We go to there. All right. And just remember to pray for the different ones that are sick. And I'll remember that Brother Mike up at Brother Joe Green's church, the song leader, remember him. He's a fine feller and all, but he's had some problems in doing what his wife, it was real. Last year she was sick and everything. So just remember to pray for him and just hold him up. All right. Now remember, this coming Saturday will be Bible study, 6 o'clock. All right. Sunday will be Brother Roy Otariano will be with us on the 4th. Then Brother Danny Del Mundo will be with us on Wednesday the 7th. Let's see. Brother Douglas will be with us on the, and Brother Quinn will be with us on the 11th. All right. Brother Douglas will be with us on the 18th. Right. We will be up in Illinois. But Brother Landland will be with us on the 21st. And Brother Matthew, what's his?
September 4th.
Okay. I knew it was in pretty quick, but I couldn't remember what. But just remember each one of these and pray that the Lord would bless. Amen. Just keep it in mind. Remember all the sick ones, because we believe it. By his stripes we're healed. Now, he said that he would send his word and heal us. So if we believe it, accept the word, and if something revealed to you, and I've always tried to tell you, that's the way I deal, the way I do. If something is made known to me, then immediately I claim my blessings to go with that, whether it be my family or whether it be the opening of the word to a further degree, whatever. Right when he's revealing to you is the best time to talk to him about the things that he promised. So remember those things, all right? Father, we thank you for the day and the time, and we just ask you to be with us tonight in your love and let your understanding be with us. Remember the sick ones among us. You promised us that you'd send your word and heal us and deliver us from destruction, and we thank you. Guide us and keep us, Lord, in your grace, and Lord, just let your light shine forth and to all of our hearts. Remember Brother Mike there, Lord, and be with him and all these troubles and things, and just touch each one. Guide us all by thy loving grace. We thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. And we go to Ephesians 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What are we talking on? A growth development in Christianity, right? Now let's go over to Galatians 4. And I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors. If you go back up above there, you'll find it's called it schoolmaster. All right? Until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, what I want you to think on, I want you to think on something as a point that we'll be trying to make it in this message, and then when we get back and pick up on what it is. I believe that the Bible is the word of God. Now, we all believe that, but now, what I'm wanting you to think about, that it's written by how many, 50, 60 writers, I forgot how many they say it was, that it's written by different writers throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, different writers. But all of those writers were speaking about the same point or thought. Now, isn't that marvelous? Now, it doesn't matter what you read, it's the plan of redemption. You read in the Old Testament, It's the plan of redemption. You read where David killed Goliath. That's the plan of redemption. That was sent forth to help the people to God, where Moses was leading them out to take them to the promised land. Amen. All of the Bible being written by mankind, it all ties together to reveal Jesus Christ. Now, right? It is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation, showing God and His ways and what He has done. And as we were reading here, that God sent forth His Son. See, this happened, that happened, this happened. Brought into being to where that it would reveal Jesus Christ to each one. Now, here's my thought. It's an odd thought, but you'll get back to it in a minute. What if all you had was what Peter said? You know, what if that's all you had? You get the point what I'm driving? What if you had only what Paul said? Now get the point. We'll illustrate it throughout the message. You'll see that Peter and Paul were saying the same thing. But Paul carries the thought into a much deeper meaning and brings out things that Peter did not speak about. All right. But now he was speaking of the same revelation, but not the depth or the thought of the Apostle Paul. Even to Peter said that people say that Paul said things hard to be understood, that some wrestle to their own destruction, you know, by not understanding it. All right. Now, so what if you had, though, what Paul taught? You know, now that would be a great understanding to have what Paul taught, a great opportunity to hold and cherish. But what if that's all you had? See, then you'd have Paul talking about changing a moment in the twinkling of an eye, a great understanding, a great thing to bring forth. But just remember, he never attained to it. Right? Now follow the point. Don't get lost into jangling up all of what you think I'm talking about. Just listen to what I'm talking about. All right? See, if you had even what Paul had said, it wouldn't be enough. If you had Peter, what he said, wouldn't be enough. You had John, what he said, James, Timothy, you know, whatever, to isolate or whatever to pull apart and not have all of the Word. But we're in the end time that we're supposed to have the entire Word of God, right? Now, see the opportunity, so remember that point now, that if Paul had brought forth all he brought, but it still wouldn't be enough. You say, well, why do you say it wouldn't be enough? He didn't make it. His prophecy was of the future. Most of Paul's writing spoke into a later day, a later time, a time to come. We'll get into the scriptures after a while. He talked about this mortal change into immortality. But he never attained to it. All right? See, then by doing that, you can see why that we had to have. Even if you took, now let's lay it on down and get it real strong now, all right? Even if you took all of the writers of the Bible, are you listening? All of the writers of the Bible and what they wrote and their revelation of God, you realize it still wouldn't be enough. Boy, you sure are funny. I love it, though. Sometimes it does match real good, but you just have to think with me. You see, then you would be left without the prophet of Malachi 4 to be able to give you the perfect interpretation. Now that's what he's saying. Now Paul never said he had perfect understanding. Luke was the best. He come close enough. He said having perfect understanding. But yet we know Luke wasn't an apostle. I mean, wasn't a prophet and thing. All right. But see, do you understand what I'm driving at? Without Brother Branham to come along to take whatever it was brought to us, no matter if you had everybody, and we have everybody. Right? We have what everybody has taught. Now, not everybody in the whole thing, but we have the Bible as taught, and as the prophet would say, as much as man known. All right? See, then he came on the scene to bring up the loose ends. Because he said down through the ages, even into that, he said there was loose ends left, and this messenger would have to take all that and tie it together. All right? See, thank God for what we've had. What we've had delivered unto you and I. It's the most wonderful opportunity there is to think about that God has given us not only the written word and not only given us the opportunity to study all the writers of the word and follow their teachings and examples and revelation, but he summed it up by bringing a messenger in the end time to take all the loose ends, and the prophet said take it on to the rapture. Right. Now, you don't think like I do, because I know I'm glad you don't. See, he says, take it on to the rapture. Well, right, now, there's nothing beyond that. Right? I mean, you change a moment, twinkle eye, you're going to be with the Lord. The rapture's taking place, you're gone, right? I mean, that's taken up. Well, what about all these in the grave? With the great revelation the Apostle Paul had of something that Peter never spoke of. Now you're going to have to think with me tonight, because I'm trying to get you to think about something that will be a basic background to try to understand then the stature of a perfect man and what things are and what we have need of, where the prophet says, you know, that we've got to have these things. It's not to just talk about it. We've got to have it revealed and made alive in our hearts, or what? Or we're going to keep dying and going by the grave. I'm sorry to keep mentioning things to try to make you wake up. But see, 40 years ago, the Lord told me that. You've heard it over and over and over. So it ain't one I've come up with last week. Some of you have been here for 30, 40 years. You know I said it back then. That the biggest portion of people of this message would have to die and go by the grave. And I had no intentions or thoughts involved in any of it to de-Christianize any person. Now, you've heard that over and over and over that I said to you. See, I had no thoughts of thinking about, well, they're not born again. No. No. My point was one thing. You and I are going to go by the grave if we don't come to the right place in God. Whether we like it or not, no. All right? And then see, until somebody comes to that position in the Word, mankind will keep on dying and going by the grave. But that's not de-Christianized. That's not saying nobody's a Christian. I said that then. I say it now. I'm not saying that they're no, I said they could be born again believers. Because you look at it. Look at age and what has taken a toll upon the people of this message of how old a lot of us have got, how death has taken people. That's not de-Christianizing anybody. Amen. You think I'd do something like that to be smart at it. I can't help it. I told you what the Lord told me. Well, you say, well, I don't know where it was the Lord or not. Well, that's all right. Ain't got nothing to do with it. You know? One of these days we'll find out, and that'll be all right. But you ain't going to get kicked out of heaven because that you don't believe what Brother Dale says. Because there ain't never been nothing like that taught around here. Okay? All right. Now, listen to the point then. So you could take every writer. We have every writer in the Bible. What they said about the revelation of God for their time and all like that, whether it be Old Testament speaking of Jesus Christ to come, or whether it be the New Testament with Christ being here with us, or being over in the New Testament to come forth after Christ's coming to bring us to those places. See, then if you shortcut yourself anywhere, then look what you're doing. Say, for instance, you'd say, well, I believe what Paul said, but I don't know about what Peter said. Well, now, to me, you're shortcutting your own self. You're cutting your own throat, as the old saying goes. See? Because it wouldn't be in God's Word. Brother Reynolds said Peter and Paul taught the same thing. But now, before we get to tonight, you're going to find out that Peter never taught the depth of the Apostle Paul. Because that's Scripture. That Paul says things hard to be understood. We'll try to lay it down and pick up the thought right out of the Word and see if that's true or not. All right? But are you following me? We could never come to the complete fullness of redemption without what Peter and Paul taught. I'm just using those two as illustrations. I'm talking about what everybody taught. Now, two, then, it's laid upon the point of believing what this prophet has taught. Of redemption. To tie up all of the things that mankind had not been able to put together totally. And bring it to a complete revelation. And bring a church to a place that, according to the prophet, he said she's to be delivered of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. Now, I'm not fussing with nobody out there on the internets and stuff like that of what they believe and how they say Brother Branham was wrong here or wrong there. That has nothing to do with me. I said what I said 40 years ago, and I say it tonight. I don't care what you can prove, how much wrong Brother Branham was wrong in all of his life or what he done. That has nothing to do with me. It's what he has done for me. He has brought, by way of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of Jesus Christ to me. Now, there's where I stand. I don't care what you say. Then you can say, well, Brother Branham was this and Brother Branham was that. I don't care. Then when it turned around like that, I know for sure that he wasn't this or that that everybody's claiming he is or was. A human being, yes. Mistakes, yes. But not in the Word. Show me one mistake in the Word. And see, I told you this 40 years ago. I said, the day will come you won't be just fighting against quotes and things. Some shaking their head. They know I said it that way. Maybe not was with me then, but they know I've said it since then enough to you ought to know what I said. That not that, you know, in other words, they're the people of the message, they're destroying their own selves. The denominations can't destroy us. They're not going to send down this great big thing and kill us all because we believe a message by William Branham. There's no need of it. Just leave them alone and start doctrines among us. Let the devil go from church to church till he spreads his thing. And you don't need to. You done killed him anyway. Right? You don't have to shoot somebody to kill. You kill their influence and you've killed that person. And see, that's what it's doing with the message that people's doing. They're killing the influence of Brother Branham's message. Because I've seen people do it, and you have too. Sit there for year in, year out, year in school. Well, I believe the prophet. I believe the prophet. Thus saith the Lord, heaven, that's what the prophet. And then get one little bitty something, got a wrong date somewhere that he's supposed to be hunting, and they just leave the message. Yeah. Well, don't tell me that person ever had anything.
Right. Amen.
Don't tell me they had the Holy Ghost and lost it.
Right.
Sorry, I'm too old. I done been around too long. I done fought too many battles on that. The prophet said, word rejectors. May I quote him? Word rejectors, where do they go? Somebody quote it. So where it won't be me. They go to hell. Word rejectors go to hell. They have their reward. They'll get what they're doing with all of that, but you're so sorry for them because they were so at one time so much on fire with the word and believing the word, and then all at once just one little old thing. And here's the other thing I don't get. I can't understand it. Suppose you could prove Brother Branham was wrong. I'm making a statement, so listen. Suppose you could prove he was wrong. Why is it that the very instant anybody in this message that has went off the message and saying Brother Brown was wrong, what's the first thing they do? Come on. They go to cutting their hair, wearing their pants, go back into the world. Now, where would that be? Irregardless of what Brother Branham is, where would that put you and me to go back and... And then you say, oh, the word says me not to cut my hair. And I wouldn't do it. And one day it's, well, we got to change that somewhere. You know, because we can't believe that. Why? Why is that? Why is it the first thing they do? They go back to the world. I mean, if I was the congregation, I'd ask that question. They'd be up there saying, Brother Brown was wrong here, Brother Brown wrong. I'd say, would you mind if I say a word? Why are you now teaching it's okay to cut your hair? What's that got to do with Brother Branham was right or not? You check out all these doctrines and see that if it's not what I've said, that when they come with a doctrine, as quick as a doctrine gets embedded enough, they go right back to the world. That ain't even common sense. Ain't no Christianity there at all. I don't care what. You say, you're throwing off on, nope, I'm telling it like it is. Okay? Now, but get my point where we can get into the thought. Every messenger, the prophet said, was to line up his message. How? How was it they all, each one lined their message, even in the church age? How did they line their message up? With the messenger previous. Right. Is to line up with the previous messenger and bring their message. All right. Why? Because that was the way the word is brought. It's brought word by word, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Not no little here and there. It's just brought little at a time. It's the way God brings it. He brings us his message. And all of them will tie together. So if you could prove Brother Branham was wrong in 90%, but yet you had a 10% ratio over here from somebody, what are you going to do? You see, where the trouble's going to be one day is, I'm going to say this and then I quit. You know where the biggest trouble's going to be? When those people face God, and God looks down to them and says, did the seals open? That's all he's got to say. The seals opening proved the man was right. Humanly, he made mistakes. Even in the seals, he talked a white horse rider wrong. But yet he corrected his own mistake. Are you with me on what I'm talking about? See, it's got to line up from Genesis to Revelation. They got to line up together, but it's not necessary that each one will have the understanding. Because it's a growth. It's a difference in the way they're supposed to be. Okay, let's get on with it. See, in the message of adoption, we talked about, previous message we've been preaching on, how Paul was explaining the natural story of adoption and how the son was adopted into the family, and using that as how the child of God is brought into the family of God at the new birth, and then progresses growth through the development of to comes to manifestation of sons and daughters of God. All right. See, the journey of a Christian is covered in the example of a child. How did that child go from a new birth, or a natural baby goes from a natural birth, and it goes into an adoptional stage of the natural. All right? Now, if that's going to line up straight, then you're going to have to line your scripture up there somewhere. Now, here's where we're going to have to think for a while tonight. All right? Do you know that in the Old Testament, the adoptional point was, because I'm talking about what Brother Branham said about it, because that's the way I know about it, and what little bit you can read. A natural child is born into a natural family. That's an example of a child being born into the body of Christ. All right. A natural child comes to a maturity stage. Bar, vitzvah, ever how you pronounce that big old word. They come to that point. All right. But in the Old Testament, where does it go any further? Uh-oh. We got something here now. Let's hold on to it. In the Old Testament, it only went from the natural child being born into the natural family to an adoptional stage and come to an inheritance or a blessing, whatever. When it came to an inheritance, but it never went on. There's no more types. Okay. Keep that thought in mind now. That child, when it was born into the family, it was automatically a child for the family. And it went to the state of an adoptional point. Never went any further. Because that was the type or the shadow. That was the inheritance it received. Okay? It never received nothing as an example of the resurrection. If it is, I want it to be shown to me. If it is, I'll come here and tell you. No problem. I'm just saying, think about the point. All that Old Testament would do would pick up and show the child was a child and then show the inheritance to the child. It never brought anything else into view. What if I can prove that Paul went that way? Would we believe it? Then you'll see Brother Brown saying Peter and Paul said the same thing. What about it? What are you trying to say, Brother Dale? I'm trying to say one thing. You only had two stages in the Old Testament. You had the baby and you had the inheritance. That stopped the typing because it would have to come to the New Testament to be able to pick that up to carry it any higher. And I challenge you to find out. Peter never taught resurrection on the stature of perfect man. You need to listen. Well, I don't understand what you're trying to get to, so just listen and see. Maybe the Lord might help us. Okay? Paul, when you first started out, you seemed to be holding back. But then in the depth of your message, as you progress further, you seem to go further. Would that not be scriptural? Is that not the way the prophet brought it? All right, go ahead to number one. Let's read some. This is taken from Ephesians 4. He that descended the same also that ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all in all. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Peter never called it stature. Okay? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Now, Paul there spoke of the new birth, you know, and then the stature of a perfect man. The growth development. But yet he proceeds no further than growth development. Or, we're going to show what he'll pick up. He just keeps picking up. And the odd part is who he explains it to. That might be a little bit amazing when we get to there. All right? So now, Paul, you believe that we got to come to the perfecting of the saints. We got to come to the basis of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. Okay? Now, Peter, did you teach that like that? If Paul and Peter taught the same thing. Now, Peter, did you teach it like that? Okay. Go ahead to number two. 2 Peter 1 and 1. Over to 8. 1 to 8. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. We'll get back to that. Okay, right? Brother Run said they had that same faith. All right. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul had the same faith. Peter had the same faith. Paul had. Okay. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Talking to a born again, or about a born again believer. Amen. All right, but watch. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the next verse after the end, you might ought to read it. Verse 9. Because it says this, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. That's what the Bible says. Okay. Now, aren't you listening to what I'm saying? Paul, you took it and brought a birth in Ephesians, to the Ephesians. And you brought it into manifestation, as we'll call it, which he called it the stature of a perfect man. Just for points of our understanding, he brought it to teaching a manifestation of sons and daughters of God. Peter goes to his message, in Peter, and he teaches the stature of a perfect man. And he brings it up and talks about the love. But he can never come unto that. Because the prophet said the headstone didn't come. All right. Now, Paul and Peter's both saying the same thing. They got two things in mind. Number one, they got a new birth. A child of God, like the Old Testament. A child born into the family. Then they've got an inheritance. The child in the Old Testament got an inheritance. But it stopped there because nothing else was mentioned of resurrections or anything to the Old Testament. Because that was not meant to be. It was meant to be in our day and time. All right. See, Paul comes along, takes it up to the stature of a perfect man. You don't mention the change. You don't mention the redemption of the body. Peter comes along, comes through the new birth, then with like precious faith, and he brings it up through a growth development out into the stature of a perfect man, but he stops. Even if you want to talk about the headstone. But he stops prior to the resurrection. Isn't that odd? Or is it odd that you're exactly fitting the Old Testament example? Baby, maturity. Peter, baby, maturity. Paul, baby, maturity. Now, Paul does a marvelous thing then. He picks up his thought and he goes to the Romans with his thought. Watch him come up and he just keeps traveling. He never stops. He just keeps advancing. Watch it now. You get what I'm saying? In the Old Testament, you had the advancement from a type of a child, an inheritance. Paul, you had a child, an inheritance. Peter, you had a child, an inheritance. It didn't bring out the redemption of the body at that point. But now let's listen to the Apostle Paul as he comes back and takes it on. Let's go to number 3 on you. Which is Romans 8. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? Children born into the family. And you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption. It's the Holy Spirit to adopt us into the family, to make us children, make us sons and daughters of God. Right? Come on now. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. What a wonderful place Paul puts it. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now he's right to the point of where he was when he started in Ephesians, to the stature of a perfect man. He's right where Peter brings it up through faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, I don't know. Right to the same place. Then the Apostle Paul doesn't stop. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him with subjected to same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves, even him, where he was in his standings. He stood in a great position, but look at him. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Now, watch what you've got. You got the Old Testament saint, Old Testament people with a baby and an inheritance. You got Paul and Peter both starting off as a new birth and bringing it to manifestation of sons and daughters of God, our stature of a perfect man. Paul and Peter both. Now Paul takes it on. He carries it on to redemption of the body. You say, well, that doesn't mean anything to me, but it sure does to me. Amen. It sure means a lot to me. Because that little word there, waiting for the adoption, to wit, means to understand or to know. You got many meanings of it. It's used 11 or 12 times in the Bible of wit, and it's used, you know, for smartness, or it's used for different. But the main thing to me is to a Christian is what? To adoption, to understand. Amen. If you think that ain't correct, I'll be glad to read it to you. Where in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is to know, learn to know, to perceive and see. That's the word wit. Find out and all the things. The New Testament Greek is to make known, declare, certify, give to understand, to make known, to become known, be recognized, to know, to gain knowledge of that. So it's to understand. Coming to an understanding that now there's a bodily redemption involved. Right. Now he's come into a resurrection. He's come into a place to talk about a third stage. Stage one, baby, born into the family. Stage two, manifestation, stature of a perfect man, things. Stage three, now we're at the redemption of the body. With the same messenger bringing it. Yet he keeps in growth development. If you don't read Brother Run's message that way or listen to it, you're in bad shape anyway. Because he looks like back here, he just looks like he ain't getting in there just right. And he keeps on growing. And the next time you hear him bring that message, he goes up, brings it a little higher. Then the next time you hear it, it takes a little higher. Next time you hear it, it just keeps raising. Why? Because he's getting understanding. All right? Now, Paul, you come to the redemption of the body. Now, did you say any more about this in your writing? Did you talk any more about the things that are there that we could take an example of and be able to follow? Okay. Go ahead to number six. And immediately look at who it's to. It's not to the Galatians, the Ephesians. It's to the babies in Christ, the Corinthians. Because he knows that's his height that he can go. He has taken it to the Ephesians and Galatians, and they understand that he's reached the point of talking about the redemption. The resurrection, in other words, we'll put it that way. Because remember now, before you can take what we'll get to in a minute, where you're talking about change in a moment, twinkle of an eye, just remember, you got to have the dead raising first. Right? Before you can talk about the change. All right. So, Paul, what are you doing? Well, I've had an opportunity. I'm talking now to the Corinthians. And that's called the Book of Corrections. Brother Brown said that Paul had more trouble with the Corinthians than anybody. He said, it's just a bunch of babies. But he said, that's the way we were. Right. Remember what we was bringing the other day? Every born again believer starts as a baby.
Amen.
Okay. Now let's read this. But some men say, how are the dead raised up? Paul, you're going to start talking about the dead being raised. You haven't spoken of this to the Corinthians. You only mentioned it to the Ephesians and the Galatians. What are you doing? How are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? Isn't that just sensibly the baby Corinthians? We don't know. Paul said something about this. But what's it going to be? Are we going to raise up this way? Is it going to raise up that way? Babies. They get their doctrine and ideas, just like the believers in this message has done. Okay. You know, look what he says. Thou fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. He said, now listen to me. I'm going to explain to you the resurrection. I'm going to explain to you the dead. And then I'll get to the resurrection to come forth. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be. But by a grain, it may change of wheat or whether the grain. Now, he's up to the natural end of the spiritual, right? But listen. But God giveth to the body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, and another fishes, and another birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. You have natural bodies, spiritual bodies. You have the natural, terrestrial, and then you have the celestial, which is spiritual body, which is soul, theophany, etc., you know, coming forth. Listen. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, but one star different from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Ooh, now, Paul. It is sown in corruption. Now, it does not mean that it's sown in sin. It says in corruption. In other words, the body is going to corrupt. Are you with Paul? The body is going to corrupt, not that it's a sinful body. Okay? Are you following me? It is sown in dishonor. Oh, if you're raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. Because that's what it's going to do. It's going to be changed.
Amen.
It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Because it's a dishonor to the fact that you and I should never had to, we shouldn't have had to die to start with. That's a dishonor to the whole human race. That we went after so much sin until we wound up having to die for it. Come on. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. All right. The first man, Adam, was made a living being. The second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, right? Now come on. Was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So you see which way it's coming. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren. Watch him. That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit. That's why you've got to be changed, but it's this body changed. It's not this body thrown away and burnt and all thing else. But see, come on, are you right? Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom. Because it's got to be changed. It's got to go by the grave. It's got to come up. It's got to be changed. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, he just got through saying up here, All's got to die. All that lives got to die. Come on. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom. All that's died in sin cannot be in glory in that state. Are you with me? You don't go to heaven with a sinful body. It's got to be changed. But you don't go there with a different body, because it ain't changed that much. It's changed from one state to the other. And watch. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, he's fixing to explain to the Corinthians that they're not all, even if they're dying, they're not wrong. They're not in bad shape. Right? He's fixing to explain that if they die, that don't mean it's wrong. There's no problem. Listen to it. I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. Until there comes a point of a change of the body, you and I are going to keep dying. But it don't mean we're dying in incorruption. We're dying in Christ. Because there's no incorruption in anything in Christ. Right? And what? But we should all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So it's not a bad thing. If I die, don't worry about it. I've always made the comical part about it, and I always said it. I always just said, if I die, just throw me out on the side of the road. I won't have to worry about digging myself out later. You say, that's silly. Now, that's silly, but that's just the way I am. I ain't worried about it. Because this here is going to follow what's inside of here. Future home. The body is redeemed. The soul is redeemed. 49. The soul is redeemed. You're waiting the redemption of the body. That's what we're all doing right now. We're everyone waiting the redemption of the body. Right? Come on. I hope we get to that point in a minute, but it'll slip away. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. It's got to happen. It's going to come forth. It can't be come forth in the wrong thing. You ain't going to raise up there ain't going to be limbs missing and parts gone and things like that. But you're going to have the same body. You say, well, I got a limb missing, so when I get there, I'll have a limb missing. No, that's what Paul said. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be changed. Yeah. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, resurrection, Paul. Something Peter didn't explain. Peter, I'll get to it later. Peter and Paul says the same thing. Paul tells you scripturally, et cetera, encourages you through the lining up of the scriptures. Peter takes you through the gaining of that point of the virtues into display. Right? Now, come on. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, when this dead that goes by the grave, this rotten thing that goes in the grave, when it's brought forth, changed and stands again on earth. Watch him. So when this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying. That saying cannot be brought to pass until somebody gets to a change and resurrection and all comes back. But look, pass is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's thy sting? Grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. In other words, we die, we rot, everything goes. But thanks be to God, which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labors are not in vain in the Lord. Paul takes it. Remember illustration. The Old Testament takes it from a baby in a natural story, puts him into the family. He comes forth as an inheritance part, but that ends his journey part because he's only typing that much. Paul and Peter both pick it up in the point of the newborn baby born into the family and the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God going into the stature of a perfect man. But at those stages, they don't mention resurrection. You know why? Because they don't have the resurrection message. You say, right now, wait a minute, don't misunderstand me there. You hold on to what I'm saying. See, this message is the resurrection message. Because this message does what none of the rest of them could do. Remember? Remember now? Remember the story, what I brought out? That everybody in the Bible, what they've taught, has got to tie together. They can't be contrary one to the other. They've got to interlace each other to bring forth the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whereas one brought it up so far, the other one takes it on. Whereas this one shows it in an example, this one carries it on. Right? See, then Old Testament goes from a baby to an inheritance. Paul picks it up. Peter picks it up. It goes from a baby born into the family to a rightful inheritance of the new birth coming forth in manifestation of sons and daughters of God. Romans 8. Then Paul says, okay, we got this going so far. Now let me continue on. And he covers, to wit, to understand the redemption of the body. Then the Corinthians questioned him. And he spent a lengthy process of explaining what death is. It's taking you away. It's incorruptible. No, it's incorruptible. It's corruptible. Death brings corruption. But he says now, through Jesus Christ, we go to incorruption. We go to incorruption. Because his body went through. Right? Just remember, we've got some more to go, so hold your point. Remember, Jesus went through death, burial, resurrection, change, ascension. We still got a lot to go yet. We've only got about 3 stages working on. Am I right? I know I used to believe. I used to believe that nobody had ever, because the Bible says nobody had reached immortality but Jesus Christ. And I even put Jesus Christ to the basis that he had never been brought to the correct point. I'm just human. I don't mind telling you. But the Lord spoke to me one day and said, I ain't right. See, the Lord Jesus went through death. He's got to face every one of these things for you and me. Death. Resurrection. Change. Ascension. What was the other one? I left one out there somewhere. Death, burial. He went through death, burial, resurrection. He faced every one of those things and conquered every one of them. Okay? All you and I got to do is just keep following the plan. Just keep following the plan. Keep walking in the Word. God will give us the answer to all things. But remember, it'll be in the Word. Who would have thought? Now, I'm honest. I'm telling it like, I'm sorry. I'm just human. But who would have thought the Corinthians is the ones Paul was explaining it to? Brother Branham said in the Ephesians, they had tongues and interpretation. He said, but it didn't have to be explained to them. Corinthians said over and over about tongues and interpretations and gifts and that. He said the Corinthians had them, the Ephesians had them in order, or Galatians, one of the two. He said they had them in order. They were tutored and trained. And they came forth walking in the Word. This message has the answer to all things. Right. And everybody's waiting on you and I. Because this is the day, this is the time. But they're waiting on you and I. The change of the body. But see, the resurrection's got to come before those that are alive and remain shall be changed. So resurrection is our next point. Amen. Don't worry about rapturous change. Worry about the resurrection. Amen. Because resurrection's next. Amen. Right. Then the order of events goes resurrection and then change. And ascension. Right. We go to meet him in the air. Amen. But he's done been through all these things. So he knows how to go, but all we got to do is just let him take over in our hearts and life. Come on, musicians. I hope you listen to what I'm saying. I wish you would go back home and sometime this week re-listen. I will two or three times. Because I want to make sure I'm saying it right. I'm trying to the best of my knowledge to be able to say things in a correct way to where that we can understand. If I'm not saying it in the right way, you come tell me. Now, I don't mean, come to me, I don't like your attitude. You said this and you said that. Don't fool with me on attitudes, because me and you both going to get into an attitude battle. Because you're going to bring up my attitude and I'm going to bring up your attitude. And what good is that going to do to either one of us? I'm talking about walking in Christ. To be led of the Lord. Walk in the Lord. Let's stand together.
604. I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that I once was, and redeemed is now my name. I've been changed. I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Though my sins were scarlet, they were white as snow. I was bound, but today I am free. I was lost in the darkness, but now I'm found. I was blind.
We don't have to look for a message. We've had the message. It's in our hands.
I've been reborn.
We see the Bible, as I said, tie together everything.
Been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the
bring forth the revelation of Jesus Christ.
All my life, praise God, has been changed. When at last in His presence,
anybody have a
stand above, He will wipe
on these things
from my eyes.
I want a prayer cloth. I've got
a new home beyond the sky. I've been changed. I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that I once was, and redeemed is now my name. I've been changed, I've been reborn, all my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. Oh, my life, praise God, has been changed. Though my sins were as scarlet, they are white as snow. I was bound, but today I'm free. I was lost in the darkness, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I've been changed, I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. When at last in His presence I stand above, He will wipe every tear from my eyes. And I'll thank Him for giving a wretch like me a new home beyond the sky. I've been changed, I've been reborn, all my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, have been changed. Though my sins were as scarlet, they are white as snow. I am bound, but today I am free. I was lost in the darkness, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I've been changed, I've been reborn, all my life has been changed.
We just ask You to take away this pain. We dismiss it now in the name of Jesus Christ and Your love and understanding, Father. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else?
Just come and let's see if God's real. Let's see if He's real. Let's ask Him.
It makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that I once was, and redeemed is now my name. I've been changed, I've been reborn, all my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord is His way. All my life, praise God, have been changed. When at last in His presence I stand above, He will wipe every tear from my eyes. And I'll thank Him for giving a wretch like me a new home beyond the sky. I've been changed, I've been reborn, all my life has been rearranged. What a the Lord has His way.
Well, I don't have no door sluggers. Well, you ought to look around. You probably don't have no doorknobs either. You left them off. So just get you a hammer and start knocking them down. You can't find a doorknob, beat it down, just hammer it down with a hammer and start saying, Lord, help me. Help me to get rid of these things. But I certainly don't need them. No, they're not there doing me any good. They're just my hindrances, all right? Amen and amen. Father, we thank You and we ask You to just be with us now as we go home. Be with everybody, take care of everybody on the way. And Lord, just let Your loving grace be with us. And may our what we've tried to bring tonight, may it dwell into our hearts so that we can see You are trying Your best to manifest Yourself among us in a mighty way. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
What a difference.
Remember now, Bible study Saturday.
When the Lord has his way.